I'm up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. every day. Let's go. What do
Did
you want to do?
you when you got back with the band, you know, yes, you're not, you know, the you're not on that scale as 89, 90.
Right.
But you know, did you, you know, was it one of those things where you appreciate it more, or did it ever start feeling like a job again? You know, just how does it feel to go back into that life after you spent, you know, 8 years
Right.
working to get out of it, basically?
Yeah. I think when I left it because it became a job. And the love for it just pissed out, right? And when I got back into it, the band, the second time, it was the same reason why I got into it the first place, because it was fun and I enjoyed doing it. So the love of music and all the brutal fall off the edge of the world when you know what everybody says is Seattle came in and stomped out what we were doing, which I think it's just like you said, it's a change. You know, it's not like they were so great that they killed it. It just happens. And I got back into it because I loved it again. And the beautiful thing with having an education from before, you know, and being a guy that's into education and learning, that when I got to do it a second time, I've always kept it, so I enjoy it. You know, I know where to keep the perspective. And listen, I work, like I said, I work with some business professionals that have master's degrees in economics, very, 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 very smart guys that have run companies, that are presidents. I work right under that executive level at my company, and there's a level of business acumen that they have that my guys in the band don't have, right? So I got to keep the perspective, not say they're bad businessmen. It's just a different world. Couldn't be more different. Like I asked my VP once, I was bitching. I'm like, I wonder why the band can't operate like Pearl can. You know, well, number one, Pearl's been around 75 years. It's a worldwide brand, right? But I get great advice from guys. He goes, "Hey man, it's a rock band. What do you expect? You know, what do you want?" And I'm like, "You know what? I forgot. Even though it's a business and it's a solid business, it's still, you know, four or five guys making music, you know, and there's personalities and relationships that you have in bands that are very unique, you know, much like the Night Ranger guys, you know, much like my relationships with the guys in Night Ranger, you know, I'm not in a band with, you know."
But what's impressive is you guys have remained together after, you know, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, how long was Jerry out for?
Jerry's out back and forth.
Well,
So
because I know my buddy from Lit, Kevin, I know filled in for him for a while.
yeah, Kevin played a few shows, and then we brought in Robbie Crane. And we've had Robbie for about 3 years plus. Jerry still plays some gigs at the end of months. He's just he was in the he was doing it for 35 years, and he, you know, just wanted to take a break, you know, so he has, and he's doing great, you know, fantastic. So there's no, you know, behind the Wizard of Oz screen going on. It's just exactly that. And
I think that would be a good thing to add up is who's been in the most bands, Robbie Crane or Terry Kelly.
you know what? That's, you know, and they're friends.
And
So
they were in a band with Janie together.
like when
They
people talk
were.
about Terry Kelly, I just name off the bands that he hasn't been in. You know,
Yeah.
Metallica, Mama and the Papas, I
Yeah.
think. You know,
Yeah.
maybe he did replace Mama Cass.
I
I don't
think
know.
Carrie's been in more bands, but Robbie's a weapon, man. Robbie plays a lot. Robbie plays on a lot of stuff you don't know he plays on. I'll get you on with Robbie. You can talk about it.
Well, that was
But
the same thing with Carl Cochran in Ace Frehley's band. He was a guitar player and had to play bass for Ace, you know.
yeah, Carl, huh?
You know Carl?
Yeah, I do know Carl.
Good. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Robert Mason, our you know, our singer, is from New York. So that's how I know Carl. Yeah.
Carl, what was that record Carl released maybe 20 years ago? That was a phenomenal record.
He's a phenomenal guitar player.
I think Ace plays like a solo on it and stuff, but Carl released a record, and I think I bought it because of Ace, and it was a phenomenal record. So you know, you guys get back together. You know, obviously there's some things going on with Janie. You guys have Jamie St. James sing with you guys for a while. Janie comes back, and you know, we always like to talk about you know, Janie Lane, because he's an Ohio boy. A lot of people always think Janie Lane, you know, LA and that, but grew up right up the road in Akron, Ohio. You were saying something about the Ohio Triangle and all that.
Ohio Triangle. What do you want to know? I love Ohio. You know what we call it? Number one, Janie's from Ohio. Steven's from Ohio, right? Kent and Wadsworth, right?
Okay.
But we call it the Ohio Triangle because every time we got in it, one of us would get lost. Like, we'd be on tour and somebody would like go off with somebody partying and they'd be lost for a day, you know? So it was like, here we go. We're going into the Ohio Triangle. I love Ohio. Ohio rocks. Right?
I mean, I like it because I'm 6 hours away from almost every major city here on the East.
You know? Cincinnati's killer.
Yeah. You know, I can get to Chicago in 6. I can get to Nashville in 6. I can get to Philly in 7.
Yep.
I can get to Philly and hop on a train and I'm in New York City. I enjoy Ohio. Now, listen, I wish my ancestors back in the day would have, you know, pushed the stagecoach a little bit more to the west, to California, so I wouldn't have to deal with the cold weather. But, you know, I guess they got tired and lazy and just.
Hey, it's 58 degrees down here today.
Yeah, you don't want to be in California. Trust the brother.
I pulled in my neighborhood and people have their windows open. I'm thinking, oh my God, February 7th. You know.
Yeah, there's a bunch of crazy people here in California. I'm one of the few that's not.
There's
insane.
Yeah, I feel for you.
We got crazy people here too. So
yeah,
I feel for you.
There's more of them here.
Oh, I see it on the news. I see the tents. I see the violence.
Sad shit. It's a sad dissertation of. It's a horrible way to run a business. That's all I got to say.
How's that? There you go. It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So we got we got the Paul Stanley story. You saw Kiss, and now you're seeing Paul Stanley.
Right.
You start hitting it big in 89, and you're running into all these guys that you remember watching.
Yeah.
You're listening to their records. What's your first memory of, like, Night Ranger?
Number one, when I just had gotten out of high school, I was a janitor for the Irvine Unified School District, right? I was a night janitor. So I cleaned toilets and cleaned floors, and that's what I did. I was like 17, 18, whatever. And of course they were on my Walkman, right? And I was rocking the Night Ranger. Come on. Who wasn't Dawn Patrol? Come on. Right? And Brad just tearing it up and Jeff tearing it up and just killer songs. So my first meeting with anybody in Night Ranger was with Bradley. And it was in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco. And it had to be, it was either 89. It had to be 89. Like I told you guys, everything's 89, right? And it was a radio back in the day when you would do records. After you did a record, there were these radio conferences all over the United States where all the radio stations would come to a hotel for a night or two. And all these artists would come in and meet everybody and pitch the new product and do interviews all at once. And you'd be a big party, right? So I remember running into Brad and meeting Brad there. And I was just such a fan. You know, I remember seeing him. I didn't see him live, but obviously listened to him live, play with Ozzy. You know, I was a big Randy Rhoads fan. So knowing that a guy could step up and do that was amazing to me. And then just the Night Ranger stuff. So I was tight with Brad. I met him and we had a few cocktails to say the least. And thus started our friendship. So that's the first time, besides Carrie, right?
Mm-hmm.
and I think Jeff was there, but Brad and I really hit it off, and I love Brad, and you know, and then just I'm a fan, you know, like your listeners and like you guys. I mean, just a tremendous band, tremendous songs. Jack's an amazing frontman, you know, probably one of the top three or four bassman frontmans in rock and roll. Phil Lynott being one of them, Gene Simmons being one of them. I'll put Jack right up there. I think he's amazing.
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up, because I will forget it, your record, Rockaholic.
Okay.
Produced by Keith Olsen, correct?
Yes. Yes.
There's your Night Ranger, another Night Ranger connection.
There you go.
He produced a fan favorite, Man in Motion.
Right.
Which was the last, you know, the classic era of, you know, Night Ranger is those five albums with the original members in the 80s. And Man in Motion came out 1988. Did not sell well. The band breaks up soon after. But Keith Olsen was the producer for that record. And I saw that he had produced Rockaholic, and unfortunately has, you know, passed since then. But how was it working with him? I mean, we really don't know, you know, much about him except for what you would see on a, you know, resume.
Yeah. Hogo yeah, Logo.
He was all about that, you know, Sound City. That was his world, right? Have you seen that thing that Dave Grohl put out about Sound
yeah.
City? I mean, that's Keith Olsen. I mean, Foreigner, you know, all those bands that he did in the 70s and 80s. And just, I think, all if you add them all up, it's over 100 million records sold that he produced. I think at one point he was the chairman of NARIS. And NARIS is the board that sits underneath the Grammys. So, I mean, you're working with a legend, you know? And again, it was a Robert Mason contact thing. We were talking about the New York, you know, the New York guy, right? And Robert Mason had worked with Keith on some other things. And that's how we got Keith involved. So Keith was tremendous. I mean, he was a great guy to work with in the studio. When it came to mixing for us, you know, it didn't work, so we had to get another guy to mix it. But recording everything and the experience with Keith was fantastic. And then I'm like the Winston Wolfe of Warrant. Every time some shitty job has to be done, like we have to let somebody go, or, you know, or they always go to me, right?
You still got to go by the smokes, right?
I'm the last guy, always. Like that's one of those dubious titles. So when we had to tell Keith, hey, we're going to take the mix away from me and let somebody do it, this is what Keith told me. I called him up. I'm like, hey, Keith, it's Joey. How you doing? He goes, I feel like I'm getting fucking circle jerked. What's going on? And I'm like, well, you know, dude, we're just not hearing it. We want to let so-and-so mix. We love you. I'm sorry. All right. That's enough. I just needed to know, you know. And he was fine. But it was a hard conversation to have with a legend. And then later, we were at NAMM doing a signing at a string company, and Keith was there, and Robert said, you should go talk to Keith. And I'm like, I was just the messenger. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't my fucking idea. You know, although I agreed with it, you know, it was like a band idea, but I was like the one that got the shitty job. They should really, I've got a nickname in Warrant, and it's not Winston, but it should be Winston, because I am definitely the Winston Wolf of Warrant, cleaning up all the nasty messes. But there aren't a lot, so thank God, huh?
Well, I have that album, and what I love about all the Warrant albums, when you guys kick it and play your rhythm guitars, and it sounds like Warrant. It always sounds like Warrant.
Yeah.
No matter who's singing it. It has an identifiable sound. It really does.
Yeah.
That's and Eric, I think that's cool.
That's Eric and me and Steven and Jerry. It just
yeah.
is. It's that finger, you know, like Lane's no longer there. We got Robert, you know, and it's just that fist. And the core of it is this four guys that, you know, that played the music, right?
I remember the first time, I think it was Snake. when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, it was just ripping. Good song.
Yeah, you know, that's fun.
You know, it's funny. I got a 6-year-old and he likes the Beatles. I mean, he likes newer stuff. He's all over the place, but you know, 80s, 90s type rock, he doesn't get into.
Neither does my son.
But, you know, he loves, like I said, Blackbird, you know, one of his favorite songs. And he introduces me to, like, new stuff that he hears. And so that's, you know, it's interesting. But the other day I had some Warrant playing in the truck. And I had the record Rockaholic playing. And it's just funny that you mentioned Snake.
Oh, okay.
That song was, you know, I just had it down low. He's got his little, you know, computer game, wherever the hell he plays. And he's like, play that again. And it's just, and then, you know, Dusty's Revenge is the next song. And we got out of the car and went into the mall and got, you know, pizza, pretzel and all that stuff. And we got in, you know, he had saw the song title on the, you know, on the screen there. He goes, play Dusty's Revenge again. So it was just weird of, you know, I just thought of all the songs, you know, that he gravitated to. It was those two songs. So
that's just super funny. That's super cool.
That Brent,
that, you know, makes me smile.
Brent brought that up. And like I said, he's not, you know, he's
not
he
into
likes,
it. Yeah.
He likes newer pop music and stuff like that. And those two songs. So if you had to take one Night Ranger song as your favorite, what would you take?
Probably Don't Tell Me You Love Me.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
You know, I mean, I hate to be a populist, but that's like, you know, as a guy that's played and recorded hit songs, and that song's got everything in it.
Yeah, it does.
Not a more complete song could be written. It's again, being in a band that has a bunch of songs and a bunch of hits, it's really hard to pick one that stands out. But when you say what one is it, that's the first one that comes to mind, just because of itself, you know, it's one of their children. I know. Everybody that's a songwriter, it's like, they're all my children. This one's grumpy. This one's happy. This one's sleepy. You know what I mean? Yeah. That one, you know, from the guy that grew up listening to like Van Halen and Thin Lizzy and Priest and Maiden and, you know, but also dug like Joe Jackson and Eddie Money and all this. My portfolio is wide, right? That song just kicks ass. You know?
Joe Jackson's a good pull.
Yeah. Yeah.
People will be amazed at how many songs he has of people, other people cover, you know, Anthrax, you know.
Yeah. Listen to his bass player. His bass player is a bad boy on those first few records. But Brad, I've got a great picture of Brad playing me some new Night Ranger on his phone. You know, just wonderful gentlemen. Good friends. And
what does Warrant got in store in the future? I know you guys, you know, got the Good Times Rock Tour coming up this summer with you guys headlining and Firehouse, Bullet Boys. Is, you know, that tour your emphasis 2024? You guys got anything else you guys are?
That's the tour. We're doing it with a bunch of different, you know, Lita Ford's on some of them. Firehouse is on some of them. Bullet Boys are on a few of them. You know, it's either a 2 or 3 band bill. It's going great. We've played, I think, 3 shows so far, and they've all sold really well. And the bands that we play with are doing fantastic. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know what's happening for another record. You know, we started to fire up to do it, and then we kind of gelled back a little bit just because of where Jerry's at, you know. So, you know, that could or could not happen. I don't know. Who knows? You know, I know we've got one more in us. I just don't know when.
Well, God or Harder Faster was what, 2017 or 18?
Yeah. It's getting another birthday without anything behind it.
Yeah.
Obviously, my kid probably wants a new record of all the bands out there. It's, you know, so at least make, you know, you got to make one for him.
Play him the other one backwards. See if he gets it.
So, you know, obviously people can find Warrant on Facebook, Instagram, and all those. Are you
socials?
Are you out there on Facebook and Instagram and all those?
I'm on Facebook under Joey Allen, but I don't. I mean, I just do band stuff. I'm not a. You're not going to see what I had for dinner. You're not going to see my family. I'm a private guy. Not that I'm not proud of my family, or but I just. I don't need the admiration of people I don't know from my family. That's just a personal thing, you know.
So for all the updates and stuff, go find Warrant.
Yeah.
All the
WarrantRocks.com is the website, and then we're on Facebook, Instagram. Eric does a lot of that stuff. Robert chimes in. Mm-hmm. You know, we're touring. There's probably going to be 50 or 60 shows this year. And if we're in a town by you, come on out and have some fun, man.
And Brent, they're going to be at Huber Heights at the Rose, right down
the road. Oh, you're going to be at the Rose?
Yep.
He's going to come to Cincinnati, though. He's going to come to Cincinnati, tells me.
Well,
yeah, I don't know. Let me pull up the file real quick, and I'll tell you while we're sitting here. Hold on. Yeah, it's by Cincinnati. It's in Kentucky.
Okay, that's fine. That's close enough.
Yeah, it's right across the river.
But the Rose were playing, too, so, and you guys know how to get a hold of me, so you can get a hold of me, and I'll throw you some passes and tickets. But we're just got it. Is it Paducah? Is that close to Cincinnati?
What is that, about 2 hours, I think?
I don't, you know, that one don't register a
Paducah, is that Kentucky? Yeah.
That might be more southern, but I will find out.
How about New Haven?
I only know New Haven, Connecticut.
The Amp at Log Hill.
And all right,
the Hard Rock Casino in Cincinnati. See, I'm saying
you're at the Hard Rock Casino?
It's probably not on sale yet, so I probably shut my trap, right?
Okay, I know nothing. We can edit that out.
I know nothing. Let's talk.
That's 25 minutes away from me.
It's in November.
But Paducah is the very west of Kentucky. You're actually in between, almost right in between St. Louis and Nashville.
Okay, what about New Haven? Let's just look real quick.
New Haven, would that be Connecticut?
No,
that's what I said. I know New Haven, Connecticut, which you guys played there with Paul Stanley at Toads.
New Haven, Indiana, is that what we're looking at?
No, no. Kentucky.
Kentucky, New Haven, Kentucky.
That's south of Louisville. Sorry, never mind. Florence,
Kentucky. That's just right across the river.
Let me see. Hold on. I know we're playing Florence. Hold on.
So you might be playing the racing casino, or maybe Florence, even the baseball.
Indiana.
Oh, Florence.
Well, is that Belterra?
Yes.
That's a nice casino. I've drank some beer and lost some money. I Pete Rose my way in there.
Okay.
But no,
that's in March.
Yeah. I was just, I did some social media.
Oh, that Christmas thing, right?
For Luminaire Christmas at the venue there in Belterra. Belterra is a nice place. It's in the middle of nowhere. So there's nothing around it, but a big casino right there on the river.
Cornfields?
Cornfields and some.
We've got a thing in our van.
Mining, and
once we land in like a major city like Cincinnati or something, and we got like an hour out, and all you have are cornfields and silos. We're like, our gig's around here somewhere. We know.
No.
No, that is. You are probably an hour south of Cincinnati in the middle of nowhere.
And Belterra, that was the closest that gambling got to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And when that was going on about 15 years ago, all they talked about was the prostitutes that were going to be flooding in there.
Yeah.
If that casino opened.
Have you ever heard of a place in Cincinnati called Vernon Manor?
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to stay there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an old place.
That place was rocking.
Vernon Manor.
Yeah. Is it still there?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Yeah.
That's when you probably played Bogarts.
Bogarts, yeah.
Because I was, like I said, I saw you guys.
Joe Dibble. Wasn't there Joe Dibble? Was it Joe Dibble, Cincinnati Red?
Rob Dibble.
Rob Dibble.
He came to our show. We got him in trouble.
Well, he was part of the Nasty Boys, so
we had some pictures of him backstage.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was a drinker. I know that.
Yeah, he partied with us.
And I remember he got so pissed at a game, he turned around and threw the ball into center field into the bleachers.
Yeah.
When they're taking him out of the game. He was a hothead, but he was.
He was
fun to party with.
Him and Lou Piniella, their manager, got in a fist fight in the locker room.
Yeah.
How many times does that happen? You get in a fist fight with your manager.
Yeah, not
well, maybe in the rock world it probably happens a lot, but not in the
threw any blows in the rock and roll world.
Well, that's what you hire security and tour managers for.
Right?
Yeah.
I do want to say this before we wind this down. I missed it because I was broke, but the reissues you all did on vinyl were spectacular looking. And I know a local store here got three of the albums in.
Yeah.
And I think they sold for over $100 a piece.
Woo!
So if you've got any in a box somewhere, you can put those up for sale.
Just message me after this. Josh has got my email and stuff. Just message me. We'll work out a gig. And if we've got any, we usually bring
some. I ain't worried about that. I'm just telling you, the demand for it is there.
Oh, it's great. Listen, look, we are we're dudes that love to do what we do. We love music. We love to talk to people that love music. I'm a Night Ranger fan. So when you said that what you did for Night Ranger, I'm like, of course I'm in. I love those guys. And so it's a pleasure to meet somebody and have a conversation, and it's a pleasure to be able to still play and do what we do.
We thank you for it.
It's a lot of fun.
It's like, this for me.
Yeah.
I grew up a Black and Blue fan. As soon as I saw Hold On to 18, I was a Black and Blue fan.
Yeah. So
when Janie went to with you guys, day one, I bought the CD,
That's got a lot of good stuff on it. And a lot of
oh, God, yeah.
Don't dig that, but I like that record.
Dirty Jack.
Dirty Jack's great.
Mm-hmm.
Eric's father, Dirty Jack.
Is that what that's about?
That was his nickname.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, and I do have one more question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no. Go ahead.
It's always been.
Hold on, Brent, I want you to end with your question. So I'm going to jump. Your question, I want you to end with.
But okay.
I just remembered this story, and it's, I just remembered. I saw a warrant. Now, you were out of the lineup. 1996, 97. And my girlfriend, I'm 20 years old. I'm living with my girlfriend in a crappy apartment, and I had to work till midnight. But her and her friends went to a warrant show at a club here in Columbus called the Al Rosa Villa.
Yep.
And I went in late to pick them up. So by this time it's 12:45. They're not taking tickets or anything. I'm just able to walk in. I'm standing all the way back in the back. And I'm just watching, not really paying attention. And they're playing the last song, Cherry Pie. And all of a sudden, I feel an arm around me. And some guy singing, She's My Cherry Pie, and putting the mic in front of me. And kind of like what you were talking about with Janie Lane in the chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Left the stage and came in the back door. And suddenly, he's singing the chorus, put his arm around me, and
fantastic.
I don't know why. I think I keep all my ticket stubs, and that kind of refreshes my memory. But I didn't have a ticket stub for that, so I think I forget about it. Yeah. But anyways, that's I forgot all about that. But I sang in your band, buddy.
Yeah.
What
a wonderful memory to have with them.
But I just remembered that. But Brent, I'm going to give you the last question and let you take it out.
Okay. I think I know the answer to it for certain, but I know through the 80s, a lot of the interviews were made up at Hit Parade and Circus and what have you. When they didn't have anything, they would just say they spoke to people. Was Warrant really named after Warren DeMartini?
It was.
Okay.
And I wasn't in the band when they did it. They were just fans, and they I guess that's how they came on it. On, you know, we love Warren. And that's, I guess that's how it came up. You'd have to ask Eric and Jerry, because they were probably there. It happened before I got in the band. I will tell you this. I've known Warren since I was 15 when he was a band called Enforcer. Before. Mm-hmm. And I played a gig opening for his band Enforcer. And then the next night it was my band, his band, and then Rat. And then Rat at the time was Steven, Robin, and I think Jakey Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That's like maybe 82. I don't know. I have to look. But, you know, my history with a lot of these guys goes way back, because it was a, it's a still, it still is a small community of guys. You know what I mean? And even though, you know, the Night Ranger guys came up from the Bay Area, I mean, look at my contact with Carrie, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're neighbors and still just the best of brothers. So, you know, all the Night Ranger fans out there, rest assured that your boys are wonderful human beings, and hopefully they're here for a lot longer to keep on giving us some music, because I enjoy it tremendously. And just want to thank both you, Josh, and you, Brent, for having me on tonight. And let's hook up at a show this year on me.
Cool? That'd be great. Appreciate right. that. And I thank you for the music and being part of the soundtrack of my life. It's been fantastic. I'm proud to say I'm a Warren fan, you know.
Oh no, thank you, man. It's good stuff. We're still having fun.
Sometimes it's all that matters, man.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're out there, go follow Warren on all the socials. Listen, if you need to buy yourself a Pearl drum kit or whatever, Joey Allen. You know,
your local store.
When he sent me the email, I'm like, I could swore I was talking to Joey Allen.
It's not a, I had it up on the screen. Is it going to play there the whole time?
No, it shouldn't.
I changed it because I'm like, oh no, I don't want to get a bunch of emails.
No. And I'm a drummer. Okay. And our other co-host, Andy, he's a drummer.
Yeah. I wish Andy was able to join us.
It's a long story, but I've worked for Pearl for almost 19 years and, manage about, I don't know, 40% of the domestic business. So I'm a busy guy.
That's awesome.
Wonderful company. Yeah. Wonderful company to work for. Just we're a big family.
So go follow Warren on all the socials, follow Fans of Motion, Facebook and YouTube and all that good stuff. And Joey, this has been awesome. I greatly appreciate it. And, dude, you got some great stories. So thank you for stopping by.
Fun stuff. We'll see you guys soon. Hit me up and we'll see you in the show. I'm talking all of your shit.